Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, Dodger fans? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are presented by Tick Pick and Fansided. We are recording July 1st. Dodgers aren't playing today, but it doesn't matter. Fresh month for the Dodgers after a series defeat to the San Francisco Giants. So right now, your Los Angeles Dodgers are 52-33, 7.5 games up on the San Diego Padres. I'm joined by Jake Reiner to talk MLB trade deadline rumors and news. Some stuff has come out in the last couple of days. On top of that, the Dodgers have had some pitching woes as of late that we'll dive into. And we'll talk who the National League MVP should be. So let me pass it over to Jake Reiner to get his thoughts on what's been going on with the Dodgers as of late.
Well, that was a depressing performance in San Francisco. They always play the Dodgers tough. No matter, doesn't matter if the Giants are good or bad. It doesn't matter. The Giants always play the Dodgers tough, especially up north at Oracle. That was a pretty pathetic performance by this team. They had the lead in two of these games, and they should have won at least two out of three. And some concerns about the injuries on this team kind of stacking up. Trinan a little wobbly. He gave up a walk-off home run. That was concerning. What else happened? The Dodgers got blown out in the rubber match of this series, which that's been kind of a problem all year, Kev. I mean, they just, for whatever reason, on getaway day, first of all, they go with these lineups that are just like, let's just play all the guys that we shouldn't play all at once and see if we can score enough runs to win. And unfortunately for the Dodgers, they didn't even have a chance in that one because James Paxton was so bad. But they can never really seem to figure out how to win those day games, the getaway games, so that they can have that happy flight home. So that's a concerning thing that happened. The one thing that was encouraging, though, was the fight that they showed in game two. They pushed it to extra innings and then basically were able to it became a rout in the 11th inning. So that was a really great sign for this team. And they've actually had a winning record in extra innings this year. So that's encouraging. But overall, the pitching was bad. Glasnow was bad. Paxton was bad. The bullpen kind of faltered a little bit, and this was a series that they should have won. And like we mentioned on the last podcast, Kevin, before I send it back to you, because this was your point, the Dodgers need to beat these teams that are in their division. It would be great to push the Giants and the D-backs on the brink of being eliminated before the playoffs start, or pushing them out of the wild card race. So it was a little upsetting that we couldn't do that to the Giants this weekend.
Yeah, next up, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are only a half game ahead of the Giants. James Paxton was so bad. That may have gone down as the worst start by a Dodger starter maybe since Michael Grove a year ago.
Got
shelled. Whether it was against Arizona, I think he gave up a million runs. What's up, Craig Osterberg and Dennis Gonzalez? Thank you for hanging out with us. Hit that like and subscribe button. But James Paxton, I think he raised his ERA by nearly a run after that putrid of a performance. I guess the Dodger fans that didn't trust James Paxton are in the right now, because if any starter has those tendencies to get shelled like that, and that's not the first time we've seen James Paxton have a blow-up start like that. 9 runs across 4 innings thrown, 12 hits, now has a 4.28 ERA, whip of nearly 1.5. You can't really go into the playoffs feeling good if James Paxton is in your rotation.
He's not going to be, though. I mean, he's a regular season starter. That's plain and simple. If they go into the postseason using him as one of their three main starters in the playoffs, something has gone horribly wrong. So just keep that in mind. He is not going to start a game in the playoffs if the Dodgers do this thing correctly at the trade deadline.
I agree. Tyler Glasnow had been on a run, but that last start wasn't very encouraging. Maybe it was just a speed bump in the road, because for the most part, he's been lights out. But yeah, he also struggled. I think he gave up 5 runs in just 3 innings. So this Dodgers bullpen really had their work cut out for them in this series. But like you were saying earlier, they ended up winning in extra innings. That game went on to the 11th inning, and what ended up being kind of a blowout, Dodgers out of nowhere scored 7 runs in the 11th inning, which was like something no one has ever done in Major League Baseball, I think, or at least in terms of the Dodgers. So at least they won one game of the three. But yeah,
that guy Jelly, they always throw him out there against us, and I feel like we shell him every time. Am I incorrect in thinking that? I don't know why, but every time I see that, I mean, and he's so noticeable too, because he's like, 7'5" or something like that. He comes out there just this soft tossing, big lanky guy that they just destroyed. So I am a big fan of the Jelly Man.
Hello, William Andrews. Yeah, I don't even remember that guy, to be honest, but I'll take your word for it. I feel like we see Tyler Rogers. Yeah, because Taylor's the lefty. I feel like we see Tyler Rogers at least twice every series. That guy's annoying with this submarine pitching and all that.
Yeah.
But these bats for the Giants, like so many scrubs, and they just went off against us. So I don't know what went wrong there for the Dodgers. They're going to have to get their shit together, because they cannot do that again. 21 runs in those last two games. That's
who was the guy? Who was the guy that hit the walk off against Trinan? The little second baseman.
Why am I blanking? Giants walk off Dodgers.
There's a good reason why you're blanking, because I'd never
heard of him. Brett Wisely.
That's what always happens in these Giants. I mean, like, Lamont Wade is a little bit more established now, but he was the Brett Wisely of a few years ago. You know, it's just always these guys that you've never heard of before that crush you. Matt Chapman also had a great series against us. He kind of killed us. Jorge Soler killed us in the last game. The Giants get up for the Dodgers series, and so does the crowd. The Dodgers also travel well to the Giants park. So it's obviously a rivalry game. So these two teams, regardless of record, are always going to play each other tough.
One bright spot in the Dodgers rotation in this past week since we last recorded was Gavin Stone. He threw a complete game shutout against the Chicago White Sox, barely needed 100 pitches to get through those 9 innings, was in complete control the entire game. The first Dodgers rookie to have a complete game shutout since 2013 in Hyunjin Ryu, and the last Dodgers pitcher to throw a shutout since 2022. Pretty sure that was Tyler Anderson, but I could be wrong. Gavin Stone just continues to be consistent every time out. I was reading an article earlier today, I believe it was from Bob Nightingale, and his name actually came up a lot in trade talks this past offseason. So this is one of those circumstances where it's one of those moves you're glad you didn't make.
Absolutely. Gavin Stone's been terrific the entire season. I was happy to see him pitch a complete game shutout, because those don't happen anymore. So for him to do that, he's been lights out pretty much the entire season. And as the season wears on, I'm becoming more and more confident that if he continues on this path, I would trust him with a playoff start. So that's a really encouraging sign because of what happened with Bobby Miller, because you thought, even though Bobby had a horrific outing in the NLDS last season, you thought, okay, well, based on what he did in the regular season, he's going to capitalize that next season. Then, of course, he gets hurt. He's come back now and is still trying to find it. He's had a few starts where he's not pitched well. But Gavin Stone has stepped it up this season, and he wasn't even guaranteed a roster spot when spring training broke. It just so happened that there were so many injuries that he was inserted into this rotation, and he's earned the spot to stay. So to have Glasnow and Stone kind of your 1-2 horses at the top of this rotation is not a bad way to go. They need more pitching, which we'll get into, but those two guys at the top of the rotation, that's as solid as it gets, I think.
Literally nobody on this planet predicted Gavin Stone would lead the Dodgers starting staff in ERA at the halfway point in the season. But that's where we are. Gavin Stone, 2.73 ERA, 9-2 record over 15 starts, has managed to pitch 89 innings as well with a 1.12 whip. The guy is an all-star, I think, at this point in time, and he just has it all working for him. The slider, the fastball, little cut action, of course, the devastating changeup. He is just getting it done, and I think he's a slam dunk to be starting big games for the Dodgers. Hopefully, he can carry that over in the second half where it gets a little tougher. But I'm just glad that we've had a big breakout candidate in this starting rotation, because the guy that we thought was going to take the next step forward in Bobby Miller, who we went into deep depth on in our last episode, we don't have any new updates. So we're going to depend on this next start, which will be tomorrow against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And we'll see what happens with Bobby.
I know we don't follow all 30 teams, or I should say all the other 29 teams, as closely as we follow the Dodgers. And I have seen a trend throughout Major League Baseball of star pitchers getting injured, Tommy John up the wazoo. But collectively, I don't know if there's any other franchise out there, and I'm sure that there is, so I'm not saying that there isn't. But the Dodgers starting rotation the last, I don't know, 3-4 seasons, in shambles every year. Every year we cannot have a healthy enough starting rotation. And every year we're like, we need starting pitching. We need starting pitching. We need starting pitching. That's frustrating because the names that we have are incredible. The Dustin Mays, right? Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Bobby Miller, Yamamoto. Then, you know, you go a few years back, it was like Scherzer was hurt and Tony Gonsolin gets hurt, and it's just on and on and on and on. And it's just nauseating when you looked at the rotation this year and you're like, finally, we've got a really great core. And the ironic part is that we were all concerned, maybe not you as much as me, Kevin, but we were all concerned about Glasnow not being a reliable starting pitcher because of his injury history. And he's been really the only one besides Gavin Stone and James Paxton to stay healthy throughout the whole season. And Paxton as well has a long list of injury history. So it is just a frustrating thing to look at this rotation, to look at the names that are on the injured list currently, or the names that have been on the injured list for so long and are trying to come back that just cannot refine what made them dominant in the first place.
Dennis Gonzalez, unfortunately, Bobby Miller went from being Iceman to a popsicle. Well, even his starts haven't been sweet. So at least a popsicle, fruity, sweet. This is more like Iceman to shit. Pitchers who throw hard eventually need Tommy John, per Craig Osterberg. That is true, unless you're Nolan Ryan, I suppose. I don't know how he and Randy Johnson survived that plague, but they managed to do it. Pretty remarkable. Okay, yeah. So I wanted to dive into some hitters real quick that are just pissing me off, and then we can talk some trade deadline. So I don't know if it's just me, but I'm getting kind of tired of Jason Hayward for starters. He is down to a 214 batting average, a measly 308 on base, and a 108 WRC plus. But if we really want to get into the weeds with Jason Hayward, because I don't think, honestly, unless you're hitting 30 home runs, nobody that's hitting 214 should be an almost everyday starter in this lineup. But Jason Hayward is in a 3-for-26 slump. If we're looking at his last seven games, it's a 115 batting average, and an 8 for his last 45 slump, which is a 178 batting average with just one home run and an OPS of basically 600 across these last 15 games. Not a fan of that. Really need the Dodgers to get an outfielder. More on that later. But yeah, that's one guy that's pissing me off. Now you want to know who's really pissing me off? And I think his time with the Dodgers is nearing an end.
I guess.
Go for it.
Is it Craig Biggio's son?
It is. People are mad about the Lakers and the The Nepo baby is going with Bronny James. Well, Kevin Biggio is a Nepo baby himself, and I don't even think he'd be in Major League Baseball right now if his last name wasn't Biggio, because this guy is making a name for himself for the wrong reasons. I can't think of many Dodgers that stink this bad. Like, this might be worse than Sheldon Noisy territory, Luke Rayleigh territory, DJ Peters territory. I'll take Billy McKinney over this guy as well. Kevin Biggio is Iceman for the wrong reasons, because he's just frozen at the plate. This guy stinks.
I mentioned it on the last podcast. His swing is so long. It's just so long when he does decide to swing. It's just, he's swinging for the fences when that should not be his game. It's been frustrating. The replacements that they've had for Max Muncy at third base have been atrocious. And I think that we were all kind of concerned, oh, wow, what's going to happen with Max Muncy? You know, is he good enough defensively to play third base? And a lot of people have been criticizing Max Muncy. Oh, he strikes out too much and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you missing Max Muncy now, guys? Are you? Because I am. I I've been a Max Muncy supporter through thick and thin with him. What they've had at third base has been just horrible. Kevin Biggio, Kike Hernandez has been bad. And none of these guys are particularly amazing defensively. They're not putting Miguel Vargas at third base. They've made that very clear that yeah. He's strictly going to be an outfielder, and he strictly isn't going to get enough playing time, which is baffling too. Chris Taylor, which I'll get into in a minute, because he's actually heated up a little bit, but he was at third base. He didn't do well. I mean, just the list goes on and on about how they've not been able to replace Max Muncy. And I'm hoping that these are just placeholders and that the Dodgers believe that Max Muncy will eventually come back from this oblique injury. But as we've seen with a lot of injuries with this team, it's like he gets hurt. They're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And then he's on the 60-day IL 5 minutes later. So you can never really trust what this team says about these guys.
How has Kevin Biggio only played 12 games with us? These are the longest 12 games of my life. I feel like it's been 62 games, because I would not believe it's only been 12. He's hitting 188 as a Dodger. Call me wrong if I'm wrong. I think his days with the Dodgers are done, and I expect a roster move as early as tomorrow. I think we'll get into who I think will get called up in maybe more depth in a second, but Andre Lipsius, you're coming up. That's my guess. Kevin Biggio either getting cut or sent down. I think that was a question from Javi791. So I'll tee it up for you. Why is there no Andre Lipsius, and do we still have faith in Chris Taylor? So I think that segues right into Chris Taylor.
Well, yes, Chris Taylor, a guy that has been often criticized on this podcast for the entire season, and with good reason, because he's been in a pretty long slump dating back to the entirety of last season. But Chris Taylor, over his last seven games, Kevin, he's hitting .467 with a home run, three RBIs, a couple of walks, and only one strikeout. So that's very encouraging. On base percentage of .529. Love it. I think that the Dodgers obviously know who Chris Taylor is. I mean, clearly they do. I mean, he's been with the team for a very, very long time. They love him. They're going to hang on to him as long as possible. That's why Kike Hernandez is still around. That's why inexplicably Austin Barnes is still around. These guys are not on the chopping block as we kind of wanted them to be maybe earlier on in the season. But again, look, we're all Dodgers fans. I've criticized Chris Taylor quite a bit, but we're all Dodgers fans. We want to see these players do well. And so I couldn't be happier that Chris Taylor is doing a lot better, because that means that it gives the Dodgers a better chance to win games if he is more productive. And we need these guys to step up. There are far too many injuries on this team without Mookie Betts, without Max Muncy. These guys need to step up, and it's about time we've seen Chris Taylor come around. It's about time we see Kike Hernandez start to hit the ball. You mentioned Jason Hayward. These are guys that need to step up in the absences of these big stars.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I threw Chris Taylor's name in the mud a lot, and like you said, with good reason, but credit is due and earned for Chris Taylor right now. Sounds like he's the Dodgers starting third baseman beginning tomorrow. I think he's going to be in the lineup regularly because that's what Dave Roberts said. So he's going to be the new third baseman for now. We'll see what happens. He was in a rough slump. Wouldn't surprise me if he goes back down to that form, but it does look like he's changed his approach at the plate. The hitting coaching staff has really worked with him. I definitely do think there's been a change in his batting stance a little bit, at least. So we'll see what happens with CT3. Bench player at the best would not feel good with him being in our starting lineup on a regular basis in October, but hopefully this is just the beginning of a continuous momentum, because like you were saying, this last week, those last 2 weeks have been really good for Chris Taylor, and they need the offense because they're not getting it from other parts in this lineup.
I mean, look, we do not know the inner workings of this Dodgers organization and what they know about Max Muncy and his condition, right? But Andrew Friedman, Brandon Gomes, they know what the status of Max Muncy is. And I think that if they feel that Max is not going to be coming back this season, which we have no indication if he is or not, then they're going to go out and get someone like a Luis Renifo, which we'll get into. I have a bunch of players that I would love to see the Dodgers pursue. He being one of them, he's having a career season and can play all over the diamond, but more specifically, he can play third base. And then you can have Chris Taylor get back to that bench role that maybe is more suited for him. I certainly think that Kike Hernandez is more suited for a bench role than a starting role too. So those are things that I think are going to be a discussion as we get closer and closer to the deadline.
Broman 74, dude, we'll get to that question. Trust me, that's a big thing that's got me brewing. I see your comment in the chat or your question in the chat. I think it's time to talk some trade deadline, though.
All right.
This one stood out to me. Back to Bob Nightingale, wrote in the USA Today. I believe it was him. If not, it was Ken Rosenthal. A couple days ago, came out. The Dodgers actually put in a trade offer for the big lefty that a lot of people have been talking about in the White Sox pitching rotation, Garrett Crochet, who's having a monster season. And I was listening to Robert Murray earlier today on his Fansided Baseball Insiders podcast. And I actually agreed, and it took me back. Like, a lot of scouts and rival executives didn't even think Garrett Crochet was cut out to make the White Sox rotation, and they were a bad team. And he's probably going to win. I don't think they have the award, but he would win most improved player if they had that award, because he's been the biggest breakout candidate in the American League. So the Dodgers put in an offer, and I guess it wasn't good enough at all because it immediately got shut down. We don't have the details in terms of what the Dodgers offered to Chicago, but at least we're seeing the fact that they inquired and made a proposal.
Right. And Crochet is arguably the best starting pitcher available. So the Dodgers need to go out and get a frontline starter like that. They need to get a guy that they can envision starting in October, because we don't know if Yamamoto is going to be back. We don't know if Bobby Miller is going to rebound. Certainly Walker Buehler, we don't know. He's on the IL. So they definitely need to go out there and get the best pitcher on the market. Now, there are a ton of other starting pitchers that I think would be really valuable to this team, maybe not starting in October, but definitely to finish the rest of the season with. That's why I think like a James Paxton, right? You know, because he's been good and he's been bad. If he's out there every fifth day, he's been good enough to where you could envision him eating innings and, you know, finishing out the rest of the season in this rotation. There are a ton of pitchers like that that I think are maybe even a tier above Paxton, but maybe a tier below Crochet. So going out and getting a Garrett Crochet has to be a top priority for this team.
I can't believe Garrett Crochet is only 25. That was probably the biggest shock to me, that he is that young. I feel like he's been in been in the big since 2020. So, wow, good for that guy. Javier T, what do you guys guess they were giving up? It's hard for me to speculate. What I can say that the White Sox want is they want young, controllable players. So they would probably have to give up one or two arms that are in double A level, I would assume right now. And then maybe a bat. I imagine they probably want DePaula, but I would not give up Josue DePaula for Garrett Crochet. I don't think that trade would be worth it.
No, I wouldn't either. And as we know, every year the trade deadline comes around, every year we talk about the Dodgers tax. Certainly the Lakers have a tax. The Dodgers have a tax where it's just teams don't want to supply the Dodgers with players that could potentially help them win a World Series. So they're going to hike the price up as high as it could possibly go to see if they can squeeze something out of the Dodgers, because they know how desperate this franchise is to win a World Series. That's just how they play the game. So I don't know what the offer is, but I'm with you, man. I don't want to give a Josue DePaula. I really don't. We don't know yet what we have. And I'm so fearful of like another Yordan Alvarez situation where we trade that guy, we get Josh Fields, he ends up screwing us in the World Series, and then you've seen what Yordan Alvarez has turned into.
Oh, absolutely. We're getting more and more people in the chat, so hit that like button, hit that subscribe, share it with your friends, get them in here. We'll get to your guys' questions, so you can start dropping questions probably in like 10 minutes or so, but we're focused on trade deadline talk right now. This one actually comes from a friend that is a very active listener, and I appreciate his support. Cannot talk. The Lithium Dodger on X. With all this noise on Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert Jr., could we instead, you know, pivot to Detroit and go after Tarik Skubal? And I think he threw in Riley Green, but I don't really care about Riley Green. But Tarik Skubal or Garrett Crochet, which one do you prefer?
Well, I would take either one. You mentioned Crochet in the year that he's been having, but Tarik Skubal is having an excellent season too. He's 9-3, 2.32 ERA. 97 innings, a whip under one. He's been fantastic for a kind of mediocre Detroit Tigers team. And if you don't want to get Tarik Skubal, which would be, you know, kind of on the expensive side, you could go with a guy like Jack Flaherty, who at one time was looked at as like the next phenom. He's rebounded in his career. He's 5-5 with a 3.24 ERA, 115 strikeouts, a whip of one. So I think you can't go wrong with Skubal. You can't go wrong with Flaherty. You can't go wrong with Crochet, but they have to get one of these three, I believe.
Yeah, if I have to pick and choose, I actually would prefer Skubal. The guy is throwing 97 miles per hour as a lefty, and I know Crochet throws hard too. But there are things about Skubal's game that kind of just remind me of Clayton Kershaw, and I just think that he has more of the track record and the stuff that plays. Like, he throws a changeup that's generating whiffs 46% of the time. He throws a slider that's generating whiffs 38.5% of the time. His fastball is pretty much unhittable. Opponent batting average is 178. I know he had the shoulder surgery a couple years ago and has battled his way back, and it looks like an ace out there. But outside of like DePaula and maybe one other prospect that I'm blanking on, I'm ready to empty the farm, empty the clip, and bring Skubal to Los Angeles. I think this guy is an absolute difference maker, and it's not like we would lose him in free agency. We'd still have him for another year or two. I would go all in. I think Skubal,
27.
He's young. I think this is a guy you would want to build your rotation around, and I'm nearly all in on this guy. I think he's legit.
I would be shocked if the Tigers departed with him. I think that, you know, given the fact that they're in the AL Central, a weak division, now the Cleveland Guardians are kind of running away with it this year, but let's say they hold on to Skubal and they build a team and they build up that team and they, you know, make a run at the wild card next year, you could foresee that. So again, it's going to cost a lot. And you're saying empty the farm for Skubal. I think it has to be the right deal for him. And I don't feel like we need to, just go for broke with him, but the price is going to be steep. And I think they have to make a move, though. They really do. I mean, if they're not going to get Crochet, they have to get Skubal. If they don't get either of those, they got to get Flaherty. They need to be aggressive.
I mean, if we just look at our farm system right now, it's like, how many of those guys do you actually really want to keep right now?
So what you're thinking, like a Vargas or Outman, any one of those guys?
No, they're almost worthless. I'm talking Dalton Rushing. No, not Pajas. He's a major leaguer now, but like the Dalton Rushings, the River Ryans, even like I if we have to trade River Ryan to get Skubal, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Maybe that doesn't age well. Yeah. Peyton Martin. If this take doesn't age well, I'll own it. But I really do think Skubal is the second coming of like a Max Fried.
Here's the thing though about Skubal is that it's sort of like the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. And what I mean by that is that you've seen Skubal now for the second straight season have a really good year. And you know he's major league ready. With these other guys that are on the farm, like River Ryan, Peyton Martin, I mean, obviously top prospects, studs in their own right, but you don't know yet, right? They could be bad. You know, they could not pan out. You've got a guy that has panned out. So you take that risk, I think, in order to capitalize on a move like that. So I'm kind of with you on that. I just think that there are a few untouchables like DePaula that we talked about.
Right, yeah. He's the only one that I'm kind of hands off on. You have any other names, Jake, you want to throw out there in the trade deadline sphere?
Yes. I talked about Luis Renifo. He is a third baseman, but he can also play all over the diamond. He's having a career season hitting .317. 6 home runs, 24 RBIs, 21 stolen bases. I think he's a really great guy to have on this roster. A .362 on base percentage. Seems like he's figured it out. I know we had that trade in place a few years ago with Jock Peterson and I think Ross Stripling or something like that, that Artie Moreno canned. So he is, again, available. And there's a bunch of guys in the Angels that I wouldn't mind going after, one of them being Carlos Estevez in the bullpen, I think would be a great addition to this Dodgers bullpen. 16 saves, 3 ERA. He would be great. A couple of the lesser tier guys that I really won't get into details about, but like if you wanted to shore up the outfield, you could go for like a Kevin Pillar again. I mean, this guy's hitting .290 and he has an OPS of .864.
Former Dodger.
Taylor Ward, another one, 14 home runs this year. So the Angels have a lot of guys that I would like to get. And then, on the lower tier of things, you could go after a guy like freaking Tyler Anderson if you really wanted to, because at the end of the day, you need guys to eat innings. You need starting pitchers that you can rely on. The Dodgers know Tyler Anderson. He has a 3 ERA this year. He's 7-8. He's pitched in the playoffs for the Dodgers before and pitched well. So, I mean, those are some options with the Angels that I think really the Dodgers could benefit from.
I'd be happy with Luis Renifo. Obviously, everyone knows he was almost a Dodger until Artie Moreno had something up his ass and changed his mind. But that guy is exactly what the Dodgers want. The versatility. He can play anywhere on the baseball path, and he's having a good season, like Jake said. Taylor Ward is solid as well. Broman, 74 dude. What is the Dodgers' biggest need? I would say a true shortstop, right fielder, and starting pitcher in that order. Options, and he lists a bunch. But I don't think shortstop is a need for the Dodgers anymore.
Mickey Rowe.
He's a big part of it. Miguel Rojas has a WAR of 1.7, a WRC plus of 126. He's hitting basically .300 with an on base of .344. And is it sustainable? Probably not. But at the rate he's going, it's his job to lose. And they asked Dave Roberts just the other day what his thoughts are. Could Rojas be the shortstop for the rest of the season? And he didn't exactly give the answer, but it does seem like the Dodgers are leaning in that direction right now. We have another month basically left for Miguel Rojas to prove himself and hold on to that position. But right now it's like a quarterback at camp. He's QB number one at the shortstop. And it sounds like Bo Bichette isn't on the move anymore. Although I do kind of think the Blue Jays are bluffing here in order to drive up his market value, because he's kind of having a shitty season. And they were bashing him in an Athletic article this morning or yesterday, where they were basically saying like his defense is atrocious, which is kind of what we don't want when you have Miguel Rojas, who's doing basically everything better than Bichette at this moment in time. But we know that the ceiling is higher with Bichette, but kind of you got to go with the hot hand, and it's Rojas.
I mean, yeah, the thing is, the funny thing is I was looking at the Blue Jays and Bichette's not having a great season. The guys that actually is having a better season than Bichette that would, you know, make sense if you wanted to get a shortstop is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. This guy, he's hitting .292 this year. He's got an OPS of almost 760 with 7 home runs and 33 RBIs. But here's the thing, like Kevin said, you don't need a shortstop. I mean, look, Mickey Rowe is hitting better than I think anybody would have predicted. And I think if you even asked Mickey Rowe himself, he would agree with that. You don't need him to hit, really. The way he hits is fine, but the key for me is the defense. That, to me, is everything. And if the Dodgers are able to let go of this Mookie Betts at shortstop thing whenever he recovers and comes back, and they can put him at second base or back in right field, then that's all I need to see. I think Mickey Rowe is perfect at that shortstop position. The defense never slumps with him, even if the bat does. But hey, the bat is actually doing a lot better than people thought. So I'm fine with riding it for the rest of the season with Mickey Rowe. I think that they can upgrade at other positions like outfield to get a bat in there that you don't need to rely on going out and getting a shortstop. Because to be honest, there really isn't that golden shortstop that's out there right now that you could go out and get and say, yep, that's the guy I want. Now, for the Blue Jays' sake, if you wanted to get a Bichette or Isaiah Kiner-Falefa or something like that, you could pair him with one of their pitchers that they have, like a Chris Bassitt, who has a 3.24 ERA, or even like a Jose Berríos or a Kevin Gausman. One of those guys would be great to pair with like a IKF or a Bichette. And those guys would be great too to have in the rotation, the three I just mentioned. So that's another route
I don't want Kiner-Falefa. That guy is just another scrub.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's worth it. I mean, he's having a good season, but I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, that's just another Ahmed Rosario. Pass. Dennis Gonzalez, how much smoke is there around a trade for Randy or Rosarena since Jeff Passan's trade report last week? I haven't heard anything since then. We obviously both want the move to happen. But speaking of packages, another name being thrown out there potentially for the Dodgers is if they can't get one of these top tier guys, maybe they bring back someone that was in their farm system at one point many years ago. And that's the Rays right-handed starter, Zach Eflin, who's not destroying the world by any means, but he has a 3.92 ERA and he's been someone that's somewhat durable. Wouldn't excite me that much to get Zach Eflin, and I don't even know if I feel good about him starting in October, but a Randy Arozarena, Zach Eflin package would be okay, I guess.
If you get Randy, I don't care. Take any of the Rays starters. I don't care if it means you're getting Randy Arozarena. That, to me, is the prized bat. If he is available, that is the prized bat that you want. And I went over it last time, but just look up his postseason numbers. Don't look at his regular season numbers right now because they aren't good. But his postseason numbers speak for themselves. That's what you want in October. He's also just a great vibes guy. Would thrive in Hollywood. He would be another like Manny Ramirez type of electric bat. Another like Yasiel Puig electric player like that.
All right, I'm going to combo an Instagram question with this question. So on Instagram, we were asked by Mad Maximilian, why are you opposed to Kenley Jansen as a trade? Go ahead.
Why am I opposed to having Kenley Jansen as a trade?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he's just too much of a... I don't want to sweat it out with him. He's too much of a... It's too much of a sweat with him. The Dodgers have guys in place right now that are less sweat-worthy, like Evan Phillips. And yeah, I guess I get it. Blake Treinor's been a little shaky, but that's another guy that you have kind of full confidence in. But in the pro Kenley camp, he does have a 2.22 ERA. He has 16 saves on the season, but he's 36. I don't know. He's certainly playing for a wild card right now. I don't know why the Red Sox would deal him, because the Red Sox are in it. So I don't know why they would deal their closer. That seems weird to me, but you know, well, okay. So here, let's play this out, Kevin. Let's play this out.
Okay.
We get Kent. Let's say for the sake of argument, we get Kenley Jansen.
Mm-hmm.
Does he become the closer?
Kenley Jansen would become the closer if it's not the heart of the order. So if Evan Phillips has to get 3, 4, and 5 out and they're due up in the eighth inning, I'm going to Phillips and Jansen can get out the bottom of the order. If it's the opposite and we know the bottom of the order is coming up in the eighth inning, then I'm going to Daniel Hudson. I'm going to Blake Treinen, whatever. And then you go to the ninth, top of the order. Sorry, Kenley, you're sitting in the bullpen for now. You go to Evan Phillips.
Because here's the thing. We know that Kenley Jansen doesn't really thrive in any other role but the ninth inning and in a closing right. situation. I don't know that I want to mess that up with Evan Phillips. I know that Evan Phillips is a very versatile reliever. And before he became the closer, he was the fireman after Treinen. When Treinen went down, he became that sort of fireman that they were able to put in every single role. But I don't know if I'd want to mess with that. They don't need another closer. They need another high leverage reliever. And I don't feel like Kenley Jansen is that guy. I could be convinced, but I just feel like there are better options out there. And I don't know that if we want to go back to the well on that. I'm just a little gun shy about that.
I don't think Mad Max has been fully paying attention, because every time Kenley Jansen's name comes up, bring me back Kenley Jansen. He is legit. If he has a 2 FIP, a 2 ERA, and he's getting the job done in Boston, I am on board. I don't know if the Red Sox would be willing to trade him at this point, unless we maybe give them some assets that they need, which, whatever, I'll do that. Let me ask you this, Jake. Who do you trust more right now, Ryan Brazier or Kenley Jansen?
I mean, simply based on the fact that Kenley Jansen pitches and Brazier doesn't, I'm going to go Jansen.
But who do you trust more, Joe Kelly or Kenley Jansen?
Same thing. Both of those pitchers aren't pitching right now.
Who do you trust more, Michael Peterson or Kenley Jansen?
I mean, come on.
Who do you trust more, Johan Ramirez or Kenley Jansen?
It's not about that. It's about the fit and disrupting the bridge that they've built right now. And the bridge is pretty strong with Treinen, Hudson, and Phillips. You throw Kenley.
Treinen hasn't been a lock these last few weeks, this last week or two.
He's made two horrendous mistakes. One of
them ERA is up to over 3 now.
I know, but he's made two horrendous mistakes and they were costly. I think that they need to get, like I mentioned, like I feel like a Carlos Estevez would be a better fit for this team because he has that experience, not only closing, but also setting up, than maybe a Kenley Jansen. But I mean, look, here's the thing though. Here's the other caveat is that you give Kenley Jansen to Dave Roberts again. That worries me because we know how much Dave loves his guys. He loves Kenley. He's going to want to give him that hero moment at Dodger Stadium, you know, with the game on the line. And it may not be the right time to use him. And we may pay for it greatly. So there's another factor. I'm just a little worried. If they bring him back and it works out, then I'll eat my words. But I am very, very not even cautiously optimistic. I guess maybe cautiously pessimistic I don't know. I'm a little worried about it.
They have to do a closer by committee. That's the only bargaining chip I want. Like, this cannot be a Kenley in the ninth, no matter what.
You know it's going to be that, though.
They can't. They just can't do that.
You
otherwise,
know it's going to be that, though.
I'm out if that happens. Kenley Jansen
is at the Trevor Hoffman status. He's at the Craig Kimbrell status. He is arguably a Hall of Fame closer. He's got the most saves in Dodgers history. He's not going to want to pitch in any other inning but the ninth inning. He's going to want that closer role.
I just don't think he has that. He has that say anymore. And I'm hoping he's humbled down, and like the fact that he's on a potential World Series winner would change his attitude. That's what I'm hoping, that he's a team player. I know exactly what you're saying, because that was the Kenley pre him leaving. I'm hoping he has a change in his mindset, but there are some major question marks, and you bring up good points as to why you don't want Kenley, but I think the stats argue for themselves. And ultimately, if this is what we get in Los Angeles, I want Evan Phillips to not be the ninth inning guy. I want Blake Treinen to not be the ninth inning guy. I want there to be a closer by committee. I think that makes the Dodgers much stronger. And UCLA Lakers, how about Tanner Scott and Jesus? I don't think the Dodgers have, I don't even think Shohei Ohtani would be enough for Jesus. That would really
I think he
be
means Jesus Luzardo.
You're probably right, but I had to roll with it. I don't want Luzardo anymore. He's having a really bad season and he's hurt.
But your boy is Tanner Scott. You love him.
My boy is Tanner Scott, as is 20 other teams that appear to be in on him. So I'm pretty pessimistic that the Dodgers outbid the other teams for Tanner Scott, because they don't normally overpay for relievers.
Yeah, Tanner Scott is the prized possession out there. That is someone that I would love to get over Kenley Jansen. He is the perfect fit. He's a lefty. We already have two dominant lefties in this bullpen, but would love to add another one.
We don't know if Banda can sustain it.
I mean, he has thus far, but yeah, I agree. I trust Alex Vesia a little bit more than Banda right now. And I may trust Tanner Scott more than both of those guys. So that's a guy that I would love to get. Can I throw another name out there for you that may be interesting? He's not having that great of a season, but he was amazing for the world champion Texas Rangers last year. And I'm talking about Jose Leclerc. He's got
That's funny, because I'm actually looking at the same team.
Yeah. There's a couple guys I was going to talk about on the Rangers, but Jose Leclerc, he's got a 4.25 ERA. He's pitching for a pretty bad Rangers team right now. He only has one save on the year, which makes me scratch my head. Who is their closer? If it's not him, I'm not sure.
I know who the closer is.
Well, can you tell me?
Yeah, I just didn't want to change the tone. But the guy that I'm actually really eyeing on the Texas Rangers, former Padres closer, Kirby Yates. 3-1
he's with the closer there.
0.95 ERA, 38 strikeouts over 28 innings thrown. I think the Rangers are looking more and more likely to sell some pieces, and he's a rental. This would be a great pivot from the Tanner Scotts. And I think the Dodgers, if they were smart, they would call Texas Rangers as soon as possible and bring over Kirby Yates.
I would love Yates. I would love Leclerc. Here's the thing. I am all in on guys that I've seen perform in October. And Leclerc was a dog. I mean, Bruce Bochy used him, I mean, insane amount of times. I mean, he went to him in every single game, it seemed like. And more times than not, he came through. And you just listed Kirby Yates' numbers. He's figured it out. I would take either one of those guys. I think that the Dodgers definitely, in terms of tier of what they need, I think at the top has to be starting pitching. And then below that is, you know, two and three would be a bat and a reliever. But, you know, basically right below the starting pitching, they definitely need a reliever and they definitely need a bat. Let's
take a quick pause right here. And then chat. Start to ask your questions, note it with a question so I can tell which are questions. We'll get to some Q&A. We've been in the show for almost an hour. This one's flying by. So this podcast is brought to you by TickPick. your Los Angeles Dodgers have a series, I believe, here at Dodger Stadium on the 4th of July. Maybe we'll talk about 4th of July if you guys have questions about that holiday. I'm actually in Philadelphia scouting out the Phillies, but not really. Saw the Liberty Bell. And you can get tickets to see the Phillies or the Los Angeles Dodgers on the 4th of July, downloading the TickPick app. No service fees at checkout. I also think California just passed this interesting law, thankfully, where that you now have to show all fees. Well, TickPick doesn't have fees. So if you want better prices out there on the market, download the TickPick app. I'm trying to get some Blink-182 tickets using the TickPick app because I know they have the best prices out there. So thank you for TickPick for sponsoring the show. They've got fun contests as well. And with the trade deadline this month, go to opposing ballparks and scout the players that you want on the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Can we continue with the Texas Rangers for a second? Because there's a few more names that I wanted to throw out there.
Corey Seager?
that would be sick, but they're not getting rid of him. Couple of pitchers that I wanted to throw out there. Besides Yates, I don't love this guy because he's very volatile, but he's having a decent year. David Robertson is a name. I don't love it. But there are two starting pitchers that I would welcome. One of them being Nathan Eovaldi, another former Dodgers draft pick. This guy is 4-3 on the year, 3.45 ERA. More importantly, though, his postseason stats are great. And he's been great in the postseason. In his career, he's 9-3 with a 3.05 ERA in the postseason. In last year's postseason, he was 5-0 with a 2.95 ERA for the world champion Rangers. Would love that. Would trust that guy in a playoff game. So Nathan Eovaldi definitely is a guy that I would see them get. And then on a lower tier is a Michael Lorenzen. Now, this guy I wouldn't look at as a playoff starter. But again, yeah, under that tier of let's have a guy eat some innings and pitch pretty decently. He's got a 3.40 ERA on the season. He wouldn't be a bad pickup. But again, I don't think that they should center deals around guys like Michael Lorenzen. I would think would be in addition to maybe a bigger piece like a Kirby Yates. That I would pair him with someone, not just go after him.
I've been pushing for the Dodgers to trade for David Robertson for like three consecutive deadlines now, and they just never do it. I'd be on board again, but he is getting up there in age. I think he's like almost 40, if not now 40.
He's had some historic meltdowns, though, that I just don't love it. I don't love it. And
I do like Eovaldi. I'm just worried, is he going to eventually run out of gas? Because like you said, he's had some deep postseason runs the last few years.
I know, and he's a little injury prone, but he's a workhorse and he's a dog, and I think it would be a great arc for him to come back to the place that drafted him and win a title. So yeah.
Do you know who they traded him for?
To the Yankees, wasn't it? Or the Marlins?
The Marlins.
Was that the... I can't remember who was
Hanley. Hanley Ramirez.
Oh my God. That was a fucking phenomenal trade then.
Yep. Little throwback. Okay. Well, we got one question so far. And then if we have more questions, we'll answer that. Otherwise, I've got a big topic to get to. Roy Estrada, will we see River Ryan this year? Probably. He's not on the 40 man though. So the Dodgers would have to add him to the 40 man roster. Believe right now he's just rehabbing. He's actually looking really good. Velocity is there. He's generating strikeouts. He is definitely on the trajectory, just like Bobby Miller was a year ago. And with the way this Dodgers pitching rotation is starting to look, if River Ryan survives the trade deadline, you better believe it. He'll be in that rotation.
Yeah. It's all hands on deck. Before we get to your big topic, Kevin, okay. I just want to throw out a couple more names because I did a deep dive and trying to figure out which teams would be selling and maybe some of their players that they're looking to offload. I'll just kind of go through these a little quickly. Again, lower tier, kind of the Michael Lorenzen category would be a guy like Jameson Taillon of the Cubs. He's got a 3 ERA. He's having a decent year. So that's a name that you could go after. A veteran guy would be there to eat innings. A guy that the Dodgers have been connected to for, it seems, every single trade deadline, also with the Cubs, is Ian Happ. That would be a great guy to have in the outfield. A switch hitting outfielder. He's got some pop. He's got 11 home runs, 44 RBIs, 345 on base percentage. He's got some speed, and he's a good outfielder, so that would be good. Another guy I'm not too, jazzed about, but is a veteran infielder that they could plug in at third base with the Reds, Jamer Candelario. That guy's got 14 home runs, but I'm not too jazzed about him. Don't think the A's are going to give this guy up, but obviously this guy's one of the best relievers in baseball, which is Mason Miller. It would cost a fortune to probably get him. He's only 25 years old. He's got a 1.96 ERA and 14 saves. And then one other guy that I think would be a good bat to get, and I know some guy brought up last time, J.J. Bleda, but I think maybe even the better option for Oakland would be a guy like Brett Rooker. He's 29 years old. He's got 15 home runs, 47 RBIs, is probably going to be an all-star for them this year. Would be great to add to the outfield. He has a lot of pop and can play the corner outfield spots. So those mm-hmm. are the guys, some of the other guys that I like.
I like almost all of those, and I don't think you said Kikuchi, which...
Oh, yeah, you say Kikuchi.
Clap to you. Fuck that guy. He sucks. All right, we're going to power through these questions. Did you guys hear about the Dodgers picking up Alan Trejo? Yes, I think that is an indicator that someone on the AAA team is getting called up tomorrow, and someone on the AAA or on the Major League team, a.k.a. Kevin Biggio, might be getting unemployed. Let's go to the next question from Hepatitis. See you later. Do the Dodgers have a problem drafting, developing position players? Been six years since they've developed one.
Has it? I don't think so. 6 years?
I kind of get what he's saying in terms of the drafting guys. No one has really made an impact since Will Smith, because technically Andy Páez was an international signing, and James Outman was dominant last year, but obviously he's not on the team this year. So I kind of see his point, the Michael Bushes of the world. There's just a lot of guys that have a lot of hype and they're not panning out. So they kind of do have a problem. I think he's on to something. Justin Lacombra, do you guys expect the Dodgers to pull a blockbuster trade off this deadline?
It may not be blockbuster, but they definitely need to make several moves. And I think they know that. This roster has a lot of holes on it, and there's a lot of injuries.
Yes, that's my answer. Dennis Gonzalez, if we had to trade for a third baseman, who would you target?
I mentioned a couple of guys. Jaimer Candelario is an option. Luis Renifo is an option. A guy that I don't think they're going to get, but would be the best option I think out there, would be a guy like Ryan McMahon. But those would be the top three off the top of my head.
Yeah. Luis Renifo, that would be my pick. Okay, so I'm kind of just trying to scroll back real quick because I'm ready for this topic. And I wanted to give this guy his flowers. Here it is. Broman 74, dude, I was ready for this. I'm fired up. So here we go. Otani has a 4.8 war without playing any defense, purely a designated hitter. MLB Network Mark DeRosa doesn't want Otani to win MVP purely because he's a DH. USA Today and New York Post, I think this guy follows me on Twitter because I'm the only one that cited this, says Harper should be MVP. We'll let you start if you have any opening thoughts.
No, this is your topic. You lead us off, Kev.
Okay. USA Today and the New York Post need to get their heads out of their ass if they think there's any world right now that Bryce Harper is the National League MVP over Shohei Ohtani. If we were to do a head-to-head comparison and every single offensive stat that's relevant according to Baseball Reference, Shohei Ohtani beats Bryce Harper in literally every category. He beats him in WAR. He beats him in games played. He beats him in hits. Beats him in home runs, RBIs, stolen bases, batting average, on base, OPS, OPS plus, WRC plus, you name it. Shohei Ohtani is having an offensive-like season that we haven't really seen since Barry Bonds. And this isn't to discredit Bryce Harper, who's having a pretty good season himself with the Philadelphia Phillies, and they have a game or two lead right now ahead of the Dodgers. But I don't give a damn because Bryce Harper's playing defense. That's factored into WAR. Shohei Ohtani is playing zero defense and yet has a WAR of over one on top of Bryce Harper. I'll start there.
I mean, yes, I am 100% with you. I think Ohtani should win MVP if this continues the way it is. He is hitting out of his mind. The power is out of this world. They do not want to face him, which is why the Dodgers, why it's so important that the Dodgers get some more offense by the deadline, because they are walking Ohtani so much more now that he's just been on fire. He's won multiple players of the week, player of the month. I just saw an award that he won for like best, like MLB team, he's the best player of whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. He's really good, and he should be the MVP. And he's an absolute game changer. There's not a part of his offensive game that is inferior to anyone else in Major League Baseball. He is superior in every single category that you can come up with. Power, stolen base, hitting for the gaps, legging base hits out. I'm sure he could bunt if he wanted to. He's just an absolute joy and a pleasure to watch. And I think that the Dodgers know what they have in him. Obviously, they paid him a boatload of money this offseason to be one of their franchise players. And I agree. I think that if this continues with the way he's been hitting and he stays healthy, I don't see how you could not give him the MVP.
He had 12 home runs in June. He basically hit 300, had an OPS of about 1,100. Him and Freddie Freeman, little credit to Freeman, he carried as well. He had a really great June as well. Hit over 300, OPS over 1,000. Those two were a dynamic 1-2 punch. And like we've talked about in the last couple weeks, Ohtani has just been a difference maker, currently in the leadoff role, lighting the world on fire. So I don't know why this East Coast bias is a thing, because if Shohei Ohtani was playing on the Angels right now and Bryce Harper was on some American League team, they'd be giving Ohtani the MVP, but because he's a Dodger, I'm sure there's some bias and hate there. And also just the fact that these East Coast writers will give the WAR to any East Coast guy whenever they're given the chance. So I'm not a fan of this.
Ohtani deserves it. If it was on the Angels, it wouldn't be East Coast bias, but I understand what you're saying.
Because I'm saying there's the anti-Dodgers hate no matter what. They don't want to give the Dodgers credit. But when he was on the Angels, there wasn't really anyone even good on the East Coast other than that one great year for Aaron Judge. Basically, Ohtani versus anyone else. Like last year, he beat Corey Seager. It wasn't even a close race. This year, Bryce Harper's not even having that great of an MVP-like season. And most years, he wouldn't be the MVP. But because no one else is stepping up, Mookie Betts got hurt. And then that's really it. Acuna went down, so he can't be in this race. They're just giving the award to Harper, which is just absolutely ridiculous because Ohtani has been the best hitter. And that's really what the MVP for the most part has been, is it's an offensive based stat. They don't really give the MVP to guys who play great defense anyways. So if anyone were to be the first to set a trend of being a DH to win the MVP, it's got to be Shohei Ohtani.
He's also carrying this team. As soon as Mookie Betts went down, Ohtani kicked it into another gear. It's like a whole other level that he reached, knowing that Mookie Betts is going down, and he slid into that leadoff spot and has been, out of this world. And it's kind of crazy when you think about it, because when Mookie Betts went down, he was on pace and favored to win MVP. And then Ohtani said, okay, I'm going to do it now, and has vaulted himself into that conversation and has carried this Dodgers offense.
Ohtani is literally carrying like the corpses of Kevin Biggio, Austin Barnes, Jason Hayward at times, Gavin Lux, Kike Hernandez. I thought 2021 was a ride. We are rolling out some pretty bad players this season. It's kind of special in a way. Yeah. Thank you, Roy Estrada, for the great show, guys. Comment. I think we're turning the page here where we're at our final thoughts. Was there anything else, Jake, you wanted to cover before we hit the road?
No, the Dodgers have kind of completed their soft-ish part of the schedule. I know that they have Arizona coming up, but they've got the Brewers also around the corner. They're going to start facing a bit stiffer competition. So it'll be a test for them to see how they fare against better competition moving forward. But I think the goal needs to be is just run away with this division even more, widen the gap, put some of these teams out of contention so that they don't end up facing us in the playoffs. I think that's got to be the goal right now. And then obviously getting healthier.
So my final thoughts are 4th of July is kind of a mid-tier holiday. What are your thoughts first with that statement?
Oh, I love 4th of July.
Kind of overrated, not going to lie.
How is it overrated?
Let's see. First of all, I don't think the fireworks are all that exciting. Like, I'm kind of bored with fireworks. We're in the year 2024. Can't we do something more advanced with fireworks these days? To me, it feels like the same show every year. They just go boop, they burst in the sky, and we're done. Like, can't we do something a little more cool?
But I mean, look, if you're in Southern California, it's a beautiful place to be during this time of year. You've got the beach, you've got grilling, hot dogs, hamburgers, the American flags are everywhere. It's patriotic. You got the fireworks and all of that. Unfortunately, Team USA soccer just shit the bed against Uruguay and are no longer in the Copa America. So they really let America down this week, which kind of sucks. But yeah. I think the holiday is fantastic. I look forward to 4th of July.
Yeah. So speaking of fireworks as well, like, people are starting their fireworks experimenting or blasting them off way too early. I'm literally sitting in my house and it's like June 27th and fireworks start popping. Then it's June 28th and fireworks start popping. Then it's July 7th and fireworks are still popping. So people need to chill with the fireworks. Like, they're literally bothering my animals. They scare a lot of dogs. That's another issue in itself. People have no decency in terms of their fireworks jacking off or whatever. Like, this shit is just getting out of control. They need to tone it down.
Yeah, they need to stop jacking off their fireworks.
It's just the explosions it's not worth it. It's overrated. There's no
late
good
night incline talk.
There are no good 4th of July movies as far as I can recall. And the music is, this is probably a bad thing to say. The music is not good.
4th of July movie.
Fair enough. The music isn't that great. You go to the parks, it's just kind of humid out or you feel sweaty sometimes. Barbecuing is cool, but I don't know. Not my favorite. It doesn't slap compared to Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Okay.
That's my final thoughts. You got any other final thoughts?
No, I think we hit every point.
All right. So yeah, just to close out the show real quick, the Dodgers play the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then I do believe they do face the Philadelphia Phillies after that. Oh, sorry. You're right. Okay. So the Arizona Diamondbacks, then they host the Brewers, who are in first place in the Central. Then they go to Philadelphia. That's through July 11th. So we'll probably talk about the games after this Brewer series. So that should be fun. Battle of two first place teams. The Incline Dodgers podcast is sponsored by TickPick and FanSided. And make sure to subscribe and follow wherever you're listening, whether it's on the YouTube feed or the audio section. And if you've made it all the way through the show, comment in the YouTube section in the comments and let us know which Dodgers trade deadline target you really want. So Jake, Kevin Klein here. We're signing out. Thank you for watching. And we are done.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit five, then buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.